Blog Talk Radio.
Listen, gather, I found something for you. If you listen well, I'm here to tell you you cannot lose. Oh, simple song, simple melody, yeah, to remind you that you can be the greatest ever, defeated never. Oh, even though sometimes you may.
Live Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Taking It to the Streets for this Monday, October 12th, 2020. Now, I'm your host, Bishop Shalene Cook. I'm the founder of No Bounds Global Outreach Ministries, which is the home of the Spirit Alive Network and the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, which airs right here on the Transformation Station each and every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, at the top of the program, you heard Pastor Donnie McClurkin with Yes, You Can. And as always, we begin each and every program with a word of prayer. So won't you bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord. O Most High, we come singing praises to your holy and righteous name. We want to thank you, Father God, for this time and this season. Lord God, I just want to thank you for Dr. Khalid White, who has joined us on tonight, Father God. And I just pray that you use him, Lord God, to educate, encourage, empower, and impact your people. So, Father, I pray that you prepare the hearts and minds, hallelujah, to receive from our brother on tonight. And I will be so careful to give you the honor and the glory and the praise. In your precious and holy name, I do pray. Amen and amen. Well, saints of God, if you follow the Spirit Alive programming, you know that we have a passion for reaching the lost and transforming lives. We also have a passion for educating, encouraging, empowering, and uplifting our own, especially our black and brown brothers. So tonight we have a wonderful program for you because I'm being joined by the celebrated author of Black Fatherhood, Trials and Tribulations, Testimony and Triumph, Dr. Khalid White. Now, let me tell you something about this brother right quick. Dr. Khalid White is an award-winning ethnic studies professor at San Jose City College. He is also a lecturer in the African American Studies Department at San Jose State University. He began teaching in California, the California Community College System, in 2005, and in the California State University System in 2014. Dr. White's research and practical efforts in education have focused on effective student strategies, African Americans, and students of color in both K-12 and the higher education system. Now, Dr. White continues to teach, mentor, and volunteer with youth and young adults. As an entrepreneur, he owns the multimedia company Black Empower, LLC. The company focuses on empowerment through books, film, fashion, and technology. He is a proud historically black college alumni, university alumni, and he received a bachelor's degree in sociology from none other than Morehouse College. Now, he has earned a master's degree in adolescent education from none other than Harvard University's Graduate School of Education. And he has also completed his doctorate degree in education leadership at UC Davis and Sonoma State Universities. Now, in 2019, our good doctor received the Dr. T.J. Owens Education Award for his work with Black Fatherhood. So, my brothers and my sisters, won't you please help me to welcome, hallelujah, a fine young man and someone that I'm honored to have bring before you tonight, Dr. Khalid White. Good evening, Dr. White. Welcome to Taking It to the Streets and welcome back to the Spirit Alive Network. It's an honor to have you here tonight, sir.
Well, thank you, Bishop Cook, for having me again. And thank you to the Spirit Alive Network for this opportunity once again. A pleasure to be with you all.
Amen. Well, we're going to get right on into it. Now, as you can see, Dr. White is a fine educator. But right now, you know how we are. We just everyday church folk. We want to know about the man. So, Dr. White, tell us about your upbringing and the people that influenced you and laid the foundation for you to become this fine man that you have indeed become.
All right. Well, the foundation. I grew up the oldest of two. Well, actually, I have two brothers, one older and one younger. But in my household, it was primarily just myself and my younger brother who we shared, the same set of biological parents. But anyhow, I grew up the oldest of two boys in Fremont, California, which is, a city in the Bay Area between Oakland and San Jose. So the foundation was laid by my parents, both my mother and father, and I'm still fortunate to still have both of them with me.
Amen.
As well as, to have them in my corner and still be able to talk to them, touch them, all that different type of stuff. Even in the midst of this pandemic, being able to talk with them and reach out to them is still a blessing. So they laid the foundation for me. In my household, although I live with my mother and my younger brother, my dad was still a very influential part of my life and my childhood, young adulthood, et cetera. And so, it takes a little bit of both. I learned a lot of the business sense and some of that educational sense and that type of thing from my dad on that side. But from my mom, I really learned how to treat people and how to interact with people.
Amen.
That's what I learned, kind of the mm-hmm. soft skills, from my mom, how to treat people, how not to treat people, those type of things.
Amen.
So I'm a combination of both of them for sure. And my foundation, again, was a lot of, a lot of books in the house. We had a nice little library, primarily of black authors. And it was a lot of
Amen.
Music in the house. So I'm influenced by, not only the books and authors and things of that sort, but I'm influenced by the wordplay and the music of people like the Stevie Wonders and the Gap Band,
mm-hmm.
and Luther Vandross and that different type of thing. But also, on the gospel side, the Hawkins,
yes.
Center Choir, and the Georgia Mass Choir, the BB&CC
yes.
Winans, and groups like that, and so it's like it's almost like a duality, in the household. On certain days we might be listening to Luther, but on certain days also as a kid we also listening to the gospel legends, the Mahalia Jacksons and the James Clevelands
yes.
and things of that sort. So that was kind of my foundation. In addition to that, sports was a big love of mine as a kid, playing baseball and basketball and football and things of that sort. And all of that prepared me in the ups and downs of life and, kind of the trials and tribulations of growing up in the 90s, single parent household. That's all the different type of things, that may come with some of the stereotypes that may come with that. All that prepared me to be able to grow and develop into the man I am today. So,
amen.
Yeah, that was the foundation. Also, my church was a big influence on me. I've been a member.
Yes.
My family's been a member of this church, Pilgrim Baptist Church, for a good 30 years or so now. So I was introduced to the Lord really as, a young kid, probably 10, 11 years old, maybe even younger than that. And, in addition to my parents, my grandparents also were big influences on me. My grandmother and grandfather also on my dad's side, my dad's mother and father also were, my grandfather was a reverend, he was a pastor of his own church. And so, the church has been a big influence on me. The gospel has been a big, foundation in my life. And God has really wrapped his arms of protection and providence around me since I can remember. And so I'm not ashamed to say it. And I'm still very much, a God-fearing man and a God-fearing Christian man.
Amen, my brother. Now, it is wonderful to hear, and it's very important for our listeners to hear that you were blessed with a good foundation. You come from good stock.
Yeah.
You know, you come from people that blessed you and well, you know, and helped you to become well-rounded. What would you say to that young brown boy, that young brown girl, that, you know, they don't have that foundation? Maybe, you know, they might be watching their parents go through the throes of addiction, or they might, you know, their parent might be absent. Would you speak to that young mind and just give them a word of encouragement?
For sure. Yeah, that's not easy. You know, it's not easy to watch or to go through or experience firsthand the ups and downs that come with addiction. And I didn't want to get too deep or too personal, but I definitely experienced, you know, a parent that was, you know, addicted to substances in my developing years, you know, all the way up through my 20s. You know, I didn't want to necessarily share that because that's embarrassing. It's tough to talk about that, right? It's hard to, you know, to divulge some of that information. But, you know, I've experienced that. So what I would say to a person that is dealing with that, male or female, is you have the ability still to chart your own path. You know, if you can create a relationship with your God, you know, a belief system, a foundation, God will bring you through these ups and downs, these trials and tribulations. Now, it's not easy, and it's much easier said than done. Not only do you have to pray on it and exercise your faith, but you also have to exercise your own decision-making. So that's tough, particularly as a young person, or if you have an absent parent, you know, or a parent who's incarcerated, for example, something of that
nature.
That's tough to navigate that because you're longing for somebody. You're longing for, you know, that type of parental figure. So also look for maybe some type of support from others that are in your family or in your circle, whether it be a coach, a teacher, an uncle, an aunt, something of that sort, where you might be able to get the things that you feel like you're missing or the things that you feel like, you know, you want. Again, this is much easier said than done, and I'm not sure if it works the same for everybody. I don't have a tried and true blueprint.
No.
This is the things that you can do.
Amen.
I don't think there is one. But one of the things that does have to come with it has to be an exercise of faith, and it has to be you just, you know, one of the things you can do is pray on it. God answers prayer. God hears and answers prayer, and God takes care of children.
Amen.
So,
that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Now, Dr. Khalid, what prompted you to become an educator? What did you see that gave you this passion in your heart to become an educator?
Well, that's a great question, Bishop Cook. You know, to be honest with you, I come from a long line of educators on both sides of the family. So, you know, when my family, generations have you know, gone, well, my family has been educators for two or three generations. And in the Deep South, my family came from Louisiana. In the Deep South, that was a highly respected position to be a teacher. So I have a lot of aunties, grandma, grandmothers, et cetera. You know, they were teachers, counselors, PE teachers, kindergarten teachers, things of that sort, all through the South. And so, you know, that's kind of, it's in my blood, you know, to be honest with you. Working with kids and working with young people and things like that has been something my family has been doing for generations upon generations. But I got my first opportunity really to impact, influence young people's lives when I was in college. I started volunteering at an after-school program and volunteering with, you know, third and fourth graders and things like that. And I loved it. I loved working with kids. You know, it felt good. It felt gratifying. It felt like I was making a difference. And I just enjoyed it ever since, you know, about, I don't know, 18, 19 years old, just working with kids. And so I've worked in, you know, school or after school capacities ever since then. It's just something I felt like I had like I just took to, almost had like a knack for it. And so that developed into, you know, working in the public schools, K through 12, you know, professionally, and then obviously now working in at the college levels. And so it was just almost a natural progression, Bishop Cook. It came from the blood, and
amen.
I took to it because a lot of people around me were teachers.
Amen. Yeah. Well, we know that you are the author of Black Fatherhood, mm-hmm. Trials and Tribulations, yep. Testimony and Triumph. Let me be the first to say, so that, of course, you are a father. Let me be one of the first to congratulate you on the birth of your new baby and also say congratulations to you on the birthday of your book. And so we're just so glad to have you in the house. Yeah. Now tell us all, what prompted you to write a book about Black fatherhood?
Okay. Well, firstly, thank you for the congratulations on the book, having celebrated another birthday. And yes, I just had a new daughter. So, I mean, I'm blessed in both regards. What prompted me to start to write the book? Honestly, it was a tragedy that prompted me to write that book, and it was the unfortunate and tragic killing of Michael Brown Jr. out there in Ferguson, Missouri. That
All right.
was, you know, the idea was kind of already swimming around in my mind because I just knew so many Black men that were fathers and father figures, you know, and I just felt like, man, no one ever really gets the perspective of Black fathers from the perspective of Black fathers. We only see it kind of told through mass media, the deadbeat dad or the absent dad. And that just wasn't the case in my life. I had my dad, and I also had my uncles and grandfathers. It was, you know, it was generations of men in my family, and other men, particularly other Black men, these coaches and even employers and bosses and things of that sort, they really wrapped their 11 arms of protection around me, you know, mentors mm-hmm. and things like that. So I just knew too many Black men that were hands-on fathers and father figures. So one day, you know, I think it was August 2014 when the situation in Ferguson happened.
Uh-huh.
And so and I could be wrong on the exact date, but it was August of 2014. So anyway, I'm sitting there watching the news, you know, and the whole situation just unfolded. And the way that the news and mainstream media and the TV and all that just told that story of Michael Brown Sr., the father who had just lost his son, and then Michael Brown Jr., the one who was unfortunately murdered, man, I just was, mm-hmm. I was devastated by that whole situation, but more so infuriated by the way that the media was telling the story, like, well, if Michael Brown Sr. Was around, Michael Brown Jr. would still be alive. And, oh, well, look at these absent, you know, wayward kids. If
mm-hmm.
So all these different types of things, all this negative stereotypes were kind of just thrown through the TV, and I already had the idea, like, man, Black fathers need to tell their own story from their perspective. And the Michael Brown thing, I was like, that's it. I can't no longer just sit around and figure about it. I got to start doing it. So it was really out of that tragedy that I got off my behind and started just chronicling the experiences of fathers that I knew in and around the Bay Area, in addition to, you know, telling my own story a little bit, because I had at the time my oldest daughter was 2014, 2015. She was like 7-8 years old. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I was a proud and still am a proud father. And all my, you know, a lot of my friends in my circle, proud fathers and father figures and coaches
yes.
and mentors. And it's like, man, we got to change this story for ourselves. We got to be the ones to document this story, because no one else really will, and no one else will give us the credit. But we just look to be respected as men and as fathers like you would anybody else. And so I think that the Black fatherhood narrative itself is changing. The needle is shifting. The needle is moving, because now you start seeing so many more prominent Black men publicly with their kids, whether we have, you know, athletes and entertainers, or whether we have politicians and lawmakers and businessmen you know, people are really celebrating the image of the Black father, mm-hmm. Black role model and mentor, and everybody from the image of President Obama with his beautiful daughters on down to the average Joe who's at the barbershop, you know, with their kids. It's like that image is changing, and it's going to take Black fathers to change the image of Black fathers. So in a nutshell, it came out of tragedy, but now that tragedy has blossomed into a great community impact. The Black Fatherhood book and also the Black Fatherhood film that I did, you know, have touched thousands around the world. So I'm grateful to say that. Blessed.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. So this is one of those, for we know all things work to the good for those who
for those that believe.
That believe and walk according to his purpose. So out of tragedy, millions of men are being blessed. And the image of the Black father is changing because there were, you know, multimedia is quick to depict Black and brown men as shiftless and not loyal and with a lack of integrity or responsibility or accountability. But I know as a little girl growing up, that wasn't what I saw. I saw Black fathers taking their families to church. I saw Black fathers playing with their children in the front yard and going on picnics and doing the things that fathers should do with their sons, playing ball. So, you know, I just wish that some of our, you know, we need for men like yourself to encourage our younger generation, because we know that fathers are becoming, young men are becoming fathers at an earlier age. Mm-hmm. So I know that this is a book that will counteract what they hear in the streets, so to speak. You know, when a young Black man is expecting a child, you know, well, he's a baby daddy. They always say he's a baby daddy and not a father.
Right.
You know, so I'm grateful to God that you have written such a
Hello?
And, you know, that focuses on such a thing. Now, tell me, tell us about, I want to hear all about Black Empower, LLC, hallelujah, www.blkmpower.com. Tell us all about that, my brother.
Yeah, well, thank you. Black Empower really came, again, out of this tragedy of Michael Brown. You know, I said, how can I create something that could empower people? And I wanted to start off by empowering Black people, because I think that the images that we've seen of us lately have been so degrading and so devastating, right? So I wanted to empower the Black community, and that's really the global community, because Black people are all over the world. I wanted to empower us through images, and that could be images on clothing, that could be images in books and film, that could be through imagery that comes through music. And so in those particular ways, and also in the technology world, in those particular ways, in those particular fields, I wanted to create some positive, educational, inspiring, empowering imagery, because the image is so important. We're living in a social media and image driven world now. So what people see has five times the importance now. So let's flood people's social media. Let's flood this world with some positive, uplifting imagery and counteract and counterbalance a lot of the things that we've, you know, seen, or even some of the things that we've come to believe about ourselves. Because a lot of it's negative and a lot of it's based on falsehoods and stereotypes. You know, it's a lot of confusion and deceit and that type of thing. So let's just impart some positive image.
Real knowledge,
you know,
real
truth.
Wisdom.
Let's balance
mm-hmm.
it out. Exactly.
Oh,
exactly. And so,
I like that.
You know, the thing about in our society, you know, sex sells, violence sells, you know, negativity sells, and lies sell, you know, and lies are sexy, and, you know, violence is sexy, and that
mm-hmm.
type of thing. And, you know, so, but so is the truth. The truth is important.
Yes.
The truth may not be sexy, but the truth is important for us to understand. Our history
Amen.
May not necessarily be looked at as sexy, but it's important for us to understand. Our faith may not necessarily be conveyed as a attractive thing, right? Or, you know, being a person of faith and a person of conviction, right? A person with some foundation may not necessarily be looked at as, you know, oh, that's so glamorous, but it's important for us to have that. So I just wanted to balance some of that stuff out. And that's what Black Empower does. And I've been fortunate, you know, to see it grow. I've been fortunate to, you know, just to have it impact people from young people all the way to adults and all people in between. So, you know, it also ties in with my job as an educator. This is another form of education.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's not necessarily,
amen.
I'm not necessarily teaching in the classroom, but I can use
but you're still educating.
These
mm-hmm.
books to teach. Yeah, I can use these books to educate. I can use these films to educate. I can use, you know, clothing to educate. So that's what I'm doing, essentially. It's another form of teaching. It's a passion of mine, teaching, and education is a passion of mine, but also is empowering our people. That's a passion of mine.
I think that is so very innovative. I really, really do. I just think that is phenomenal. I do follow
Thank
Dr.
you.
Khalid White on Facebook, and you should see some of the projects that he brings forth and puts out there for us to see. You know, I've seen books for mm-hmm. our little Black and brown babies that empower them,
mm-hmm.
and in English and in Spanish. So, you know,
Correct.
I just praise God to see these images, because now more than ever, you know, as things get the world gets worse, and it will get worse, people are going to mm-hmm. be cleaving to their own tents even more, and they're only going to be taking care of their own even more. So we need to begin to give our children a foundation to know that they can make it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really mm-hmm. appreciate the images that you put out there, Dr. White. Now, can you tell us about some projects that are going, some that you might be working on at this time?
Yep. Yes, I can. And thank you. I mean, my current project I'm working on is a youth literacy project. As you mentioned, I have a children's book series, and the series features brown and Black kids, brown and Black culture, things of that sort, to empower those youngsters to want to read and want to pick up books.
Yeah.
And so, yes, my current project is a youth literacy project. It's a 4-book series. Little Brother and Little Sister are 2 of the books. And also for the bilingual books in English and Spanish, we have Hermanito, which is Little Brother in Spanish, and Hermanita, which is Little Sister in Spanish. And so, you know, the books feature, again, Black and brown culture. The books feature Black and brown characters and subject matter. And it's aimed at getting kids engaged to want to read and read at grade level or better proficiency. And so that's my current project. I'm working on a couple of other projects, one in particular about the leadership at the historically Black colleges. That's one thing I'm working on right now with a couple colleagues of mine down south. And then I'm also working on another book and film project telling the life story of one of my friends who has a very interesting story. So, you know, even in the midst of this pandemic, things are still moving along. Black Empower, you know, and myself as the leader of Black Empower is still, you know, still going. And blessed to be
Amen.
Still going and still active. Yeah. So God has kept me not only COVID-free and kept my family COVID-free, but also kept me creative even in this pandemic.
That is so awesome. Now, tell me, my dear brother, Dr. White, what can we, as faith-based community, as just, you know, your average American man and woman, what can we do to help further your efforts to empower our Black and brown children? I mean, of course, we want to buy the books. Okay, we want to do that. And, how can we better support you so that you can do an even greater work?
That's a really good question. The first thing that I would say, and we'll say for no cost at all, right? Let me take a step back. As a business, we want to continue to generate income so we can put more projects out. So that's, that goes without being said.
Right.
But for no cost at all to anybody, what you can do to help me further my mission and my purpose is to, for one, tell your friends about Black Empower, which, again, the website is blkmpwr.com. That's one thing, because word of mouth in our community travels fast. But you can also do things like ensure that as parents, caretakers, caregivers, grandparents, aunts, uncles, father figures, mother figures, that you are reading to your children
at least
20 minutes a day, that you can do things like talk, read, and sing to them, particularly your younger kids from 0 to 5. That really helps them grasp these different words and concepts. And so you can use my books to help you do that, but you can also, at no cost to you, you can just engage in conversation and engage in talking, reading, and singing to them, or talk, read, sing to them, and also holding them while you do it to give that social, emotional context, in close proximity, getting in their comfort zone and making sure that they know that they're loved and felt and that you feel that you love them and they love you. That helps to build those bonds. And so that is part of the empowering process. It doesn't cost you any money. You can do that whether you are old, young, man, woman, Black, white, green, or orange, you can do all those different things every day. So that helps to empower our youth. Also, if you are a parent of somebody who is older than 5, have them read to you. Right? From 0 to 5, you read to them, but 6 on up, have them read to you. And you all converse back and forth about what's reading and how they're comprehending. I think as far as the literacy thing is concerned, I really can't stress how important literacy is, particularly as an educator, how important literacy is. It sets the foundation for learning and critical thinking. We want to raise the next generation of thinkers, critical thinkers, and also doers. And in order to do that, they have to be literate. They have to be able to be knowledgeable, because information is kept in books. Knowledge is kept in books, and we all know that knowledge is power. So, and the application of knowledge is power. So those types of things a person can do, spending really any money. You got to spend some time, you got to spend some energy, but those are resources that hopefully you have that don't cost you a penny. I know we're in a recession, but those are some things that you can do immediately.
Amen. Now, my brother, there are people out here that, they think, we hear you, people talk a lot about mentorship and they really don't, but that's all they hear is the word mentorship. They don't really understand what it means to be a mentor. You, on the other hand, you are a great mentor. So could you please help some of our adults who do want to mentor, who do want to be that positive role model in a young person's life? Could you please tell us what that means and what we can do?
Okay. Well, to me, what that means is the mentor thing is really just a relationship building. And it normally is relationship building and communication that comes from somebody older and wiser to somebody younger. But it can also be peer-to-peer as well. Like I can mentor a person or a person can mentor me and we're the same age and, you know, same position in life and things of that sort. But normally it's somebody who's been there, done that, reaching back, and at least in my definition, somebody who's been there, done that, reaching back to somebody who's up and coming, trying to get there to do that. And so mentorship really just rests on the idea of relationship building and communication, passing some knowledge and information down, giving some do's and some don'ts, providing wise counsel, providing, you know, some scenarios for people to think about. It's not saying, hey, you need to do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, or you won't be successful. No, that's not the case, because everybody's journey, everybody's path is a little bit different from the next person's. However, a person who's up and coming needs to have an example or a model to see how things are done, to see how they can possibly imagine themselves doing it. So, for example, I take this example, and hopefully this is something that everybody can kind of grasp this concept. Most of us who learn how to cook did not necessarily learn from a cookbook. You know, we watched our mother or father, our grandmother, our aunt, uncle, somebody kind of took us and showed us how to, you know, mix a little bit of this with a little bit of that, put this in the oven at 350, stir this in, add this, you know, you kind of, and then eventually you got to the point where you could do it on your own and you might have even tweaked the recipe a little bit. And what happened at the onset was you had somebody showing you the ropes. No, don't reach in the oven without this oven mitt. No, you use this kind of cast iron skillet. You don't use this, you know, shallow pan or, you know, those types of things. And really what you had was somebody mentoring you from the jump or from the onset. You know, it might have been a relative or it might have been, you know, an older sibling or something of that sort that taught you how to make scrambled eggs, or that taught you how to make French toast, and now you've perfected it and you're adding your own little twist to it. So now you've taken the instruction from them, the wise counsel, the do's and the don'ts, and now you've been able to add or, you know, to add to it or to even twist it and change it up a little bit to suit your needs. And that's really what mentorship is. Most of us learn things by watching other people do it. A lot of us learn like that. Even if you have a mentor who's on, like you watch some of these cooking shows, Paula Deen, Rachel Ray, and Martha Stewart, or whomever, you know, that's still a form of mentorship because you can go in the kitchen and follow Paula's recipe or Martha's recipe and that type of thing. Most of us need to have someone to imagine ourselves in their shoes to be able to kind of get to their place. And that's really what mentorship is to me.
That's
It's not so much of this is what you do, this is how you do, but hey, this is what I've done, and I can show you these things because I've done this. I've been here and done that.
Amen. The reason I ask you that question, Dr. White, is because, you know, in society, they have a tendency, they get buzzwords. People, you know, we start using buzzwords, and nobody really you know, gets, you know, and they use them without even understanding them. So a lot of times when you say the word mentorship, when people are just like, well, do I have to go to school? Do I have to become an advocate? Do I, you know, and it's, and I'm saying, no, you're making it way too difficult. it's not that difficult. You know, it's sharing what you know with someone so that they can grow. That, you know, and that's exactly what you just said, you know. And then by the time, and then when they get to a certain point, they can put their little twist on it. And then when they pass it on, they can pass it on. They're passing on that same knowledge, that same wisdom, that same counsel. But now this got their little flavor to it. And I believe that's how we become enriched, because as each person grows and they take that information, they take that knowledge, that wisdom, that counsel, and they begin to make it personal. They begin to use it. then they can pass it on. And each generation, each person that they mentor, that they talk to, that they help build up, they can then carry that forward. And I believe that's what we should be committed to, is, you know, mm-hmm. reaching back and helping someone to come forward. Well, you know, Dr. White, we do have some people sitting up in here tonight, and mm-hmm. I always, first of all, I want to say thank you to you for who you are and what you do. We need more Dr. Khalid Whites in the world. And thank mm-hmm. you for being not being stingy with what God has given you, the knowledge and the wisdom mm-hmm. that he has given you. Too many times in our community, when we learn something, we develop something, we gain an understanding, a lot of times it's almost we want to keep it to ourselves, as if, you know, by giving it away we'll somehow lose it. But you are a beautiful demonstration of the more of yourself you give away, the more you empower others, the more blessed you become. So I just want to thank Absolutely. You so much for being not only a wonderful educator, but for also being a man of God and a man with standards that any young man can look up to. I'm going to ask Apostle Zeta. So right now we're all going to celebrate you, and we're going to if they have any questions for you, we just want to mm-hmm. encourage you, because, you know, when you do step out there and the work begins, it's not always easy. Sometimes you get mm-hmm. pushed back. So we just want you to know that we love you, we admire you, we're going to be praying for you and your endeavors, because, you know, the enemy, Satan, is not happy when anyone talks about having a foundation laid with God and education and doing mm-hmm. things that are right for the right reasons. So he will come against you as an educator, as a teacher, just as quickly as he will come after a pastor who is really trying to live for mm-hmm. the Lord. So we have to keep mm-hmm. your hands lifted up too. So at this time, if you're in the studio and you would like to have a word, encourage Dr. White, wonderful young man, or ask him a question, or just agree, touch and agree with him, if you press your one at this time, I will take your comments and questions. If you're in the chat room, I will also take your comments and questions and relay them to Dr. White. Apostle Zeta, I know that you can identify with Dr. White on tonight. Amen.
Oh, all the way. yes, I certainly can. And I was just thinking about I have lots of nephews as well as nieces, and I was thinking about my nephews, and particularly about the, you know, I can't remember the title exactly, but I have some that are very good fathers, and I would like to get the books as a gift for them, and also to encourage them as well to encourage other brothers that they know to also purchase the book. I'm a child care provider currently, mm-hmm. and as well as a minister, as an apostle, and doing my work mm-hmm. there in that area. But I have little children around me all the time, and I am interested Beautiful. In some of the books for them. And, you know, and just whatever I can do to get the word out as well. So that's where I stand with it. And I enjoyed your testimony very much so.
Awesome.
Very much so. It was
awesome.
Very, very enlightening, very touching that you had such a wonderful life, you know, from childhood up.
Servant heart.
And still do. And but what impressed me the most was the fact that you are willing to help others to get there and to share with them and encourage them and let them know that they too can do it. So thank you very much. I really enjoyed what I heard.
Amen. I know I did. Now, Dr. White, would you please again tell our audience, our listeners, where they can get the books, how they can obtain the books? You know, I don't, me personally, on this network, I am not a, we don't sell things because we trust God. But you know what? You my brother, and I can talk about your stuff all day long, okay? So you can please tell them where to go and get the books if you don't mind.
Amen.
Thank you for that. You can find more about the books on my website, which is www.blkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmblkmbl pwr.com. And on there, obviously, Black Fatherhood, Trials and Tribulations, Testimony and Triumph was the first book that I've written. Then I've written four books for children, Little Brother, Little Sister, Hermanito, and Hermanita. And those are the children's books that I'm advocating. And
bueno, mi hermano, que bueno, que bueno, que bueno, me gusta mucho de todo, que bueno, hallelujah. That's, you can say hallelujah in English and in Spanish, hallelujah. All right, we also have Apostle Edwin Holloway in the house, and I'm sure we know we can always count on him for a word. So, Apostle Holloway, do you have a word for our brother on tonight?
I just want to say we are on the alike. He's a PK and I'm a PK.
Yep.
And he's been through. He's been through some stuff. And I just want to encourage him to keep on moving.
Amen.
Don't take down from nothing.
Thank
Tell
you,
the
Lord.
Truth. Your teaching in your classes, teaching African American studies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go back into history and find out why that stereotype has come, that people may know where that stereotype of fatherhood did not, it just disappeared with men of color. For me, I know it was back in slavery.
Mm-hmm.
When the master told me, "You are no good. You are not good for nothing but to make babies."
Mm-hmm.
When we came out of slavery. Mm-hmm. We came on out of slavery, and that stereotype came with us and said, "Oh, well, my son take care of him. I'm just a baby maker."
Mm-hmm.
And so we came on up through, and now we who know better are trying to
teach
better.
There you go.
Yeah,
teach better. Amen.
Absolutely.
So I want to applaud him. My father came out of Morehouse. I spent two months at Morehouse, but things happened where I couldn't continue. But I know your upbringing, and you're going through Morehouse, they instilled in you.
Yes.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
taught you.
That's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They taught you not only the bookwork, but they taught you how to be a man.
Yeah, character.
They taught you
character
how to
builders.
Be a person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They didn't,
mm-hmm.
Morehouse,
sure.
they didn't play.
Amen.
Yeah,
they
sure.
Amen,
apply. So I want to commend you and to applaud you for staying on the line and being that educator and educating our sons and our daughters and,
yes,
and those
amen.
Who are coming up behind us. Reaching back and helping them
and pulling them forward, yeah.
To get to come up from where they are. As they say the quote is pulling yourself up with your own bootstraps. Well,
mm-hmm.
we need somebody to help us to pull our bootstraps up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I want to commend you. I want to applaud you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you there's still time for you to make a comment to our esteemed, our very distinguished guest, I just when I first heard about heard this young man speak, I was just so impressed. And you please know that anytime you are beginning to, you're ready to launch a new project, or you are always welcome to come and tell our listeners here at Taking It to the Streets, or you can tell our listeners on Every Man Standing in His Place. Oh, I have a lot of places you can tell it, okay? So just know that we're going to be here to lift you up and to bless you and to help you to get the word out. I just want to thank you again for taking out time from your busy schedule to come and to sit with us and to talk to us. Again, it was very enlightening, very uplifting, very inspiring. And just to know that we have a brother out there like you I don't know about anybody else, but it does my heart good. Amen. So would you like to have a closing, a final, take a few minutes and do a final comment and or something that you want us to remember, and I will close the program. Sure. Amen.
Sure. I just want to say, firstly, again, thank you all for having me and for listening and being on the line tonight. It's a definite pleasure and an honor to be with you all as far as the listening world. I do also want to say, you know, we're going through a quadruple pandemic right now, right, with COVID-19, with racial violence and unrest, with economic depression and recession,
mm-hmm.
and also with
Come on,
climate
brother.
Change and all this different type of stuff, right? And I guess we can even add another, a fifth part of the pandemic, all this political unrest. We don't know what's going to
yes.
happen in terms of the November ballot, right, in the November elections. But I still want to say and encourage everybody to know, if you're listening to this, God is still in control. God is still on the
yes,
throne. It doesn't matter who's in the White House, because we know who's on the throne. So I would start by saying that.
Amen.
And secondly, I just want to say, your support means everything. The community support means everything. Word of mouth is
Amen.
Important. So if you enjoy what you heard, please spread the word. Again, I can leave my website. It's www.blkmpwr.com. And thank you. Please make sure that you hug and kiss these children. Please make sure that you spend some time being a mentor, even an informal mentor, just building relationship and
yes.
being in communication with somebody Amen. Younger than you or somebody up and coming that needs your assistance, because we all need it. We are still a village, and we're still very village-minded and interdependent, interconnected people. And so thank you all for your support. Continue to keep praying for me and my family and loved ones, and I'll continue to keep praying for you and yours.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. You have been listening to Taking It to the Streets with Bishop Shalene Cook and my very special guest, Dr. Khalid White. We pray that you have enjoyed what you have heard, and we want to say to all of you, be ye transformed. God bless you until we meet again. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, and we love you.
Love you as well. Thank you.